The Mizzy Bender Show, where no topic is off limits. Join the one and only Mizzy Bender as she talks everything sex, curiosities, fantasies, and more. Subscribe to our mailing list to receive the latest event listings and updates.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Mizzy Bender Show. Yay! I know, it's been such a long time since I have published a new episode, and I apologize for that, but it has just been a really, really, really tough time period. If you track my social media, if you're one of my followers on Instagram or Facebook, which is at Mizzy Bender on all social platforms, but I really only stick to Instagram and Facebook right now because, I don't know, it's just better to just stay focused on a few areas and not try and hit all of the platforms. It's too overwhelming for me, and I just don't think it's necessary. So anyways, I have been tracking the journey of my hysterectomy. Yes, that is what I said, and that completely took me off guard and sent me into a hardcore spiral. If you remember the beginning of the year when we traveled to fusion parties for their New Year's Eve event, I got really sick and I spent the entire month of January just down for the count. And for some reason, when I get really sick like that now, I blame COVID, but it ends up sparking anxiety for me, and it was manageable for a short while, but it just became so overwhelming, almost to the point where it was like debilitating. I couldn't leave the house. I wasn't really able to talk to anybody. Like, I was just in a really bad place. And around the same time is when I started to learn that this was going to be my journey of the hysterectomy. And it just really set me into a spiral, you know, waiting to go to the surgeon and hearing what they had to say. Truthfully speaking, I thought that they were going to say I just had to get a DNC. I was never expecting for them to say it would be a removal of everything. And so that was a lot for me to process. And I think emotionally, it was really difficult too. I mean, clearly at the age of 40, I'm not, you know, having children. And I mean, I've been told forever that I'm not able to have kids because of just all of my female issues. And I guess it's fine, you know, when you're in the moment and you process it and, you know, you figure out different ways to manage and cope with it and whatever the case may be. But when it comes down to being like super final and it like really is solidified that this is what's going on, I think it becomes so much more painful or so much more to process as a female. Like, you failed as an individual. You failed at what you were supposed to do as a woman. And it kind of just brings back a lot of different sad feelings for me. Of course, I would have loved to have children of my own. I do really want, and I wish I had that connection of somebody just unconditionally loving you in such a pure kind of way and just having whatever that mother-child bond is. I do miss out on that. I'm really fortunate enough to have nephews and a niece that I adore with my whole life and are really close to. So that makes things really fun, but on a personal level, definitely really tough. On top of the fact of having the anxiety, and for whatever this crazy reason is, I honestly thought that there was like something wrong with my heart. And this is the stupidity of me. And for any of you that read your doctor portals, like, we shouldn't. We're not doctors. We should never read the patient portals or whatever they're called, because I think that they just send you in directions and send you to Google. And those are the worst things that you should do. So here I am. You know, after I got really sick in January, I promised my mother-in-law I would go to the doctor. I'm not a huge fan of doctors, and the reason being is because every time I would go to the gynecologist, they would always tell me that there was something wrong with me, and I just was tired of it, truthfully. So it was never an experience that I wanted to keep reliving. So, you know, I would go if it was absolutely necessary, and I would go to like a walk-in clinic, never like a real doctor or anything like that. Not that they're not real doctors, but I never had my own set of, you know, doctors in my own, you know, portfolio of people I should be seeing. So after I got sick in January, I promised my mother-in-law I would go get like an annual physical. I would go again and, you know, go to the gynecologist and, you know, see if they can help me fix all the different issues that I was having, you know, TMI, sorry, but I would bleed constantly. My cycle was really short. I would always be in like really aggressive pain, continuously bloated. My hormones were all over the board. I was always in a cycle. I was never in a moment where I had, my body was able to have downtime and regroup like it is supposed to. So I was always in such turmoil. And a lot of times that would leave me exhausted, sleeping a lot. I wouldn't feel good. So that really added to, you know, the ups and downs of producing the podcast and how well I would produce it. And if I was a guest spot on other people's podcasts, that I would not really show up in my best Mizzy self. You know, I would be in a sweatshirt and, you know, my hair all frazzled just because I was having like a really difficult day from that side of things. So, you know, and on top of which, I did notice that I would get much more anxiety when I would be leading into my period. And these are all things that my mother-in-law like really kind of brought to my attention and said, like, you know, there are ways you can fix this. So, like I said, I promised her I would go. So, you know, I did everything that I was supposed to. I started out at my primary care doctor, which, you know, you have to go get your blood work and all these things. So I get my blood work done. And now here I am, so much more anxiety filled because I haven't been to the doctor in years. Whatever sickness I got in January really put me in such like a down kind of weak place. And I don't know whether it was like being dehydrated or what, but I could constantly feel my heart pounding, whether that was my anxiety or something for real. I don't really know, but that's what was happening. So like I thought for sure there was something wrong with me. And when I got my blood work, of course I went on my portal and I was looking at the portal and it showed iron levels. And for me, when I read it as my iron levels were high. So then I go to Google and I check out Google and it's like, if you have high iron levels, there's, you know, all sorts of different things that could be wrong with you, including something wrong with your heart. So I was like, this is it. It solidified. I knew there was something wrong with me. And also, at the same time, my doctor sent me for a sonogram of my thyroid because she's like, oh, if you're having anxiety, let's make sure that there's nothing else wrong with you. You know, and she's like, you're so petite. When you swallow, I think I might see something or whatever. So like, let's just go and get that checked out to be sure before I make any other movements on what's going on with you. So then that freaked me out. I'm like, oh my God, here I have to go get a mammogram for the first time. And then they freaked me out because I didn't realize I had to get the mammogram and a sonogram. But apparently that's like normal. But the Zwanger people misread my file. So like they called me back and was like, oh, you know, we have to reschedule your appointment because we didn't realize that you needed both of these done. And I was like, oh my God, is that normal? Like, what the fuck? Like, I just was like every which direction. It was just swirling me. So between all these sonograms and whatever else, I was just like, holy gosh, this is exhausting. And mentally, like, this is crazy. No wonder why I don't ever want to go to the doctor. So turns out my thyroid is fine. And then also my blood work, I didn't have my follow-up appointment with my primary care doctor for another month. So here I am thinking that there's something wrong with me. And my anxiety kept building and building and building. And I kept calling the doctor to ask like, what's wrong with it? Like whatever. And they would never get back to me. The nurses would just say, no, she just mentioned about your thyroid and everything looks good and take your vitamin D. And that's that. We'll see you when you come back. All right, fine. That didn't work for me. I was spiraling out of control. Adding on, you know, now having to book the surgeon appointment because of the stupid internal sonogram that I got at the gynecologist and all these other things that kept just like piling on. So by the time the surgeon appointment came, I was so anxiety filled. I was like a hot mess on that table. And for whatever the reason, whenever I hear that little blood pressure Velcro go, it spirals me even more and my anxiety goes hardcore and it's terrible. I start like crying and I am like a top mess and I feel bad for every one of my doctors because it was a shit show. In any event, the surgeon says, okay, so this is where we're at right now. You know, your uterus needs to come out and I think this is the best option for you. So let's get this scheduled. OMG, I said. He told me that it's better for us to do it now. If I wanted to think about it, I could. But if I wait, then it, he basically said, this is something that I have to do. Whether I decide to do it right now or I decide to do it in a year from now will be my choice. But if I wait, they're going to have to do a whole open, cut my belly open and take everything out that way. This time, he thought that things were in an okay position where he could do it laparoscopically. So he goes, let me just confirm before, you know, I make any decisions here if that's true or not. He's like, you know, I have to do an exam. Oh my God, this motherfucker was like hands deep in my vagina. No, I don't even think he lubed me up or anything. And I'm all for fisting. Don't get me wrong, but I was not prepared for this doctor's whole hand almost up to his freaking elbow up into my hoo-ha, you know, feeling my, I don't know what the hell he was feeling, but he's like, okay, yeah. He's like, I could definitely get all this out through your vagina. So this is what we're going to do. I was like, oh my God. Okay. So of course, I'm like freaking out, and he scheduled the hysterectomy for like almost 2 weeks later, I think, or maybe it was a very short period of time in between the appointment and when the surgery was scheduled. I was kind of relieved about that because I was like, okay, it's a lot less time for me to be overwhelmed and kind of try and keep myself at bay, because like I said, I was in a really bad place mentally. My doctor eventually ended up putting me on Lexapro to try and, you know, like calm things down. And, you know, I wasn't really thrilled about that because I'm not really one for like medicine like that. I'd rather, you know, smoke weed and call it a day. But, you know, at this point in time, I was kind of just like, listen, I'm going to do whatever I have to get me to a healthy place, because right now I'm not. And so I went on the Lexapro, and I've been on it since February. At this point in time, I am trying to wean myself off, you know, with the doctor's approval, of course, and the directions of her. But anyways, so also leading into the hysterectomy surgery, there were just so many other things that were coming up with the doctors that was just like making me just completely out of control in my mind and my body. And it was really not good. I was really thankful for Spencer to be so supportive. Normally, he is a very on-the-go individual, having us, you know, out every single weekend and just like partying and whatever. But he really knew at this point in time, I was not able to do anything. And that made me feel sad. It made me feel sad that... Sorry. It made me feel sad that I was so far... just out of my mind that I had to like stop our lives, and that's really a terrible place to be. He was so reassuring though, of just saying like, this is just a small part of our life, you know, think about how much more time we have, and you know, like really just kept trying to just reassure me that it's fine, and it's like I'm just putting too much pressure on myself about everything, and just flow, and like everything is gonna be okay. I am very grateful. I'm very thankful for him, because I definitely would not have been able to get through this period of time without his strong mental support. And I feel really bad because he had to be even more strong. You know what I mean? In his times of worry and in his times of fear, he had to like work it 10 times over because I was just so far in a bad place. By the time it was time to actually, like, I think it was like a week before the actual surgery, my primary care doctor put me on beta blockers to try and help ease everything that I had going on. I thought for sure I was going to have a heart attack during this surgery, just based upon everything that was going on, because every single time I would go to the doctor, my blood pressure would be at like 150 plus, and I couldn't get it under control. And so it made me so worried and so nervous, because I was like, that's it. Once they put me under, I'm just not going to be able, I'm just not coming out of it. And I was terrified. On top of like dealing with whatever the emotions were that I was explaining earlier, just like as a female and all that kind of stuff. So I was having a really hard time. On top of the fact that the weekend right before the surgery, my surgery was scheduled for a Monday, March 18th, we had our event. It was like our St. Patrick's Day event on the Saturday before. So we were in Rhode Island that entire weekend. And that made me nervous because I was like, oh my God, this is such a grind of a weekend. And I don't want my body to be exhausted for the surgery. My mind is already a wreck, let alone adding my body into it. Like, I couldn't have that. So I was making it very clear to Spencer that, like, I need to go through this weekend however I feel I need to go through it. And, like, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to be a team player. But I'm so sorry. This is such a difficult podcast. I didn't really anticipate that. I have such a great group of friends that love and support beyond belief and understood exactly where I was at and stepped it up double time to make sure I didn't have to do anything and to make sure that I was just in a very safe space mentally and, you know, like, really just comforting in so many great ways. And I'm so thankful for all of you guys for doing that. Even so, you know, the beta blockers, I don't know if any of you guys take it, but they made me really sleepy. So I tried to push taking it on the night of the event, like, to, like, really later, which I made it to, like, 11:20. I'm like, okay, I got to take this medicine. So Jim, you know, my bestie, which he's been on the podcast before, and I'm very excited because he's going to be a co-host for the podcast going forward on the times that I don't have other guests and things, which actually next week, you'll hear his intro and, like, his journey. It's a two-part series, so it will be 2 weeks in a row that you'll really get to know him so much more. And I'm very thankful because he came to our hotel room door before the event was, before we were leaving for the event. And he's like, all right, he's like, I got you pillows and blankets and I have the truck all set up. So when, you know, it's time for you to take your medicine and you are going to fall asleep, like, we have a spot for you, you know, to just go be in peace and by yourself and, you know, we'll take care of you and watch over you. And I thought that was just such a beautiful and thoughtful thing. Made me just feel so much better about just everything that was going on. Ugh, this is terrible. I'm so sorry, you guys. But this is what's been going on, and it's probably best for me to say it all instead of just, like, keeping it in. Granted, in all of this, I did start therapy because I thought that that was a really important step too. Like, you know, mind, body, and soul. It's really important to pay attention to all the things that are going on. And I just was feeling so lost and I was just feeling so just not myself. And it was really sad and really depressing. And, you know, like, I'm like, there's got to be a root cause. There's got to be something here. Like, what's going on? And so I can't just go on, you know, some sort of support medicine and not try and mentally also fix myself, right? So therapy's been great. I go once a week and I just spew all sorts of different things. She's totally supportive of my lifestyle and all the ups and downs that go with it. And I could just transparently speak my truth. And it's been so beautiful and it's been so helpful to me where I feel like, yeah, I have this platform and I have Spencer and I have my best friends, but there's something really raw and honest about just being in this small space, four walls, and one other person just listening to you that has nothing to do with your life at all. And their sole purpose is just to listen to you and try and have you reflect and learn and grow. And that's exactly what has been going on through therapy. And I actually really love it. So I do encourage anybody that thinks that it is, you know, something that we shouldn't do, or I feel like it's still one of those taboo topics, you know, taking medicine and going to, you know, therapists and things like that. Sometimes we need it, and sometimes we need to know that we're not alone. And, you know, I share all of my stories and, you know, all this sadness that I'm providing right now because I didn't mean to cry, but I think it's really important for you to know that you're not by yourself, and people go through all these ups and downs all the time. So, anyways, that's exactly what I did. I took the beta blocker, whatever the heck it's called, at like 11:15, 11:30, and I went outside and I went to sleep out in the truck, and I wasn't woken up until it was time to go into the hotel and go to bed in the hotel. And it was really lovely, you know, not to mention the Saturday of set up. We had our Married with Benefits friends from Instagram. You know, they took me out of setup early and they took me to lunch. And, you know, we just had like a really chill afternoon. And then they dropped me off at the hotel so I can just be in my own space and kind of decompress and just, you know, get a grip and try and prepare for like the next 24 to 48 hours. And so I really appreciated their comfort and their understanding and their strength of just knowing what I needed through that time period. So sorry. I just think that it's just so wonderful when you have such great friends who don't judge you and are there to support you through everything. And this time period really showed all of that. And it just like warmed my heart so much. So by the time Monday came, I was in a really great place. Ironically enough, I didn't have any anxiety or anything the morning of, and I'm so thankful my doctor scheduled me for 6 a.m. surgery because I think he knew I was not going to be able to make it to, you know, a midday surgery with my anxiety and just like where I was at. So I was so thankful to have that early morning appointment. By the time we had gotten to the hospital, my brother and my sister came also. So their love and support of just knowing how rough of a shape I was in for them to be there was just really, really great. And I'm so thankful for them also. You know, so we're all at the hospital in the waiting room. And by the time I got called in, I was in my own room and my anesthesiologist was so amazing. You know, I went through everything with him. I told him I thought I was going to die. And like, I was just in such a bad place. And he was like, listen, he's like, it's okay. He's like, you have white coat syndrome. He's like, we see this all the time. He's like, there's nothing wrong with you. I promise you, you are going to make it out of this surgery just fine. And you are going to be just fine. I promise you. And, you know, he went through all the ins and outs of, you know, what he would do and just like preparation and all that stuff. And he was like, as soon as your doctor comes in here and gives you the final, like, okay, it's time to go surgery talk, I'll come back in and I'll give you something in your IV and, you know, you'll be, you won't even know where, you know, he's like, you'll be so calm, you'll be okay. And he was right. As soon as he put that in my IV, I was like in complete la la land. I don't really remember anything. I remember them taking me out of my room to go towards the OR room. I don't remember them putting me in the OR room. I don't really remember. I remember them putting the little mask over my face. Normally, you're supposed to count down. That's what they did to me a couple years ago when I had my DNC. You know, you either put the mask on, count down, whatever, and then you're out. None of that. I think he just knew that I needed a little bit more than, you know, just like a small blackout. I needed like the full-on effect. And they really did well. I have to tell you, the surgery went really great. The doctor was really happy that we did the surgery sooner than later because things were far way, way more worse than what he thought. So he did say that it would have been more complicated and just, it was just the best move that we did it when we did it. And I was in a really great place after the surgery was over, maybe a little bit of uncomfort and soreness and pain. Really bizarre recovery. So this was 6 weeks ago this week, and it's been a roller coaster. You know, my body has felt so many different things. Uncomfortable, soreness, pain, I guess, you know, scared to make any movements because, you know, you don't really know what's going on inside of you. So I've pretty much spent a lot of time on bed rest, and, you know, I'm really grateful that I've had the opportunity to be home and be able to lay on my couch and grab my heating pad when I need it, but also ease back into life the way that I needed to. Based upon all these different things, you know, that I've been sharing, it's definitely been a really difficult road for me to kind of like snap back into reality of things. And so to have all of this downtime emotionally, physically, to be able to heal my soul has been such a saving grace. I feel like I've learned so much. I've learned that there's nothing wrong with me and that anxiety is real and it can really take over. I've learned tools to try and help ease that, but more so I've learned you need to have a strong mind to be able to keep on going. And If this whole circumstance did not prove that to me, then I don't really know what would, because this was a huge, huge turning point in my life. I feel really happy that the surgery is over and I faced my fears from the gynecologist standpoint, because that was something that always kind of loomed over my head forever. And I, although it is really sad that, you know, I will never be an official parent, I'm really happy that my well-being and my body safety and just everything internally is where it should be now. I think that that's the most important thing to come out of this entire experience, and I'm never going to take that for granted again. So I sit here today and I, although just cried a ton to you, I'm in a really great place. Mentally, I feel really positive. I'm no longer on an emotional roller coaster because the surgery did put me on such a spiral of different things. You know, what each day was going to bring. It definitely had its ups and downs. You know, one day I would be crying out of nowhere. You know, I had moments of just feeling defeated. I had moments of just feeling just out of control in my own body, not really understanding what the surgery was going to entail as I recovered, because I was so far focused on the upfront part that I got lost on the back end of things. Maybe it's for the better that I didn't really know like what was going on. Like, I didn't realize that he was taking my cervix and my tubes out also. I just thought he was taking my uterus. So it was like maybe a week or two after surgery, I was looking at a diagram of the female anatomy, which is so far ridiculous for me to admit. And I'm like, wait a minute, Spencer, like, what is going on here? And what did this doctor take out of me? And he was like, yeah, all that's gone. So I was like, oh, okay, wow, okay. So, you know, kind of settling in with different things and, you know, realizing it is a big surgery. They removed a lot of stuff out of my body. I am really thankful. They did it laparoscopically, though. The wounds or the punctures or whatever have healed really nicely. I only have my belly button still left of healing. The other two spots are minimal. You probably wouldn't even really recognize it by, you know, just looking at me at first glance. And so I feel really pleased about that. I feel really happy that I had a really great medical team behind me. You know, that includes my primary care doctor, of emotionally supporting me and talking to me and actually really talking me off the ledge, truthfully. So I feel really grateful about that. And it has all come to a great head because we travel again this weekend for Sprung. So on, you know, May 4th, we're going to be back in Rhode Island, which is this Saturday, to present Sprung, which we haven't done since COVID. And I'm really happy and excited to get back out there. I'm excited to find my Mizzy self. I'm excited to get my wigs and my colorful self on. I am so excited for so many things because this entire front part of the year has made me remember how much I love to embrace life, and it's time to get back to that. Also mentioning, today was a really big day. I'm recording on Wednesday, which is the day before you're about to listen to this. Today is May 1st, and I am so honored and thrilled and excited to be on the cover of ASN Magazine, a huge lifestyle publication. They cover so many different topics and have been a huge support of mine through the journey of my lifestyle career here. And to be on their cover and to be able to publish my story and really, really tap into the emotions, the journey, everything that's transpired over the last years, I think is really important. I think it's important. It was important for me to remember. It's important for you to understand me. It's important for us to grow and learn together. And that's exactly what this opportunity has really done. And I'm really grateful for it because it really did come at the most perfect time of all of this understanding, or, you know, maybe this, you know, new I don't even know what to say, you know, the Phoenix rising moment, and it all kind of coming full circle. So I'm really excited about that. I don't know. And that's it. Today I go back to the doctor to see if I'm cleared to get back into the groove of life. And so I don't know. That's kind of where we're at. If you want to see how the weekend develops and our story and our journey on the road, definitely go and follow my social media, Mizzy Bender, like I said, on Instagram and Facebook. And I don't know, we'll be back with another episode of just Spencer and I recapping the event in a couple weeks after Jim's episodes launch. So if you have any questions for me or thoughts, definitely email me, MizzyBender@outlook.com. And I'm completely grateful for each and every one of you. Thank you so much for listening to me, for supporting me, for being here on the journey, and just constantly having my back no matter what it is that I bring to the table. Because this lifestyle is so much more than sex. It's about the people and the feelings and the emotions that make you feel empowered to be yourself. And that is what this journey is all about. So until next time, you guys, I'll talk to you super soon.
The Mizzy Bender Show, where no topic is off limits. Join the one and only Mizzy Bender as she talks everything sex, curiosities, fantasies, and more. Subscribe to our mailing list to receive the latest event listings and updates.